Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of...
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show, Top of Horowitz. Well, the drawings are out and the seeds are set and it is March Madness and we had... daylight savings time, and we got the schools are out, the colleges are, Florida is being overrun by the over-imbibed college students, and the amount of things that will be going on there will be quite incredible as we look forward. But again, we are getting into that, spring in the air type of thing because... of course, you've got the overall the daylight savings time. Weather's getting a little bit nicer, a little bit warmer. And here we are coming into, we'll call it tulip time. All right. We've got, markets are, again, continuing to move their way higher. But, of course, we had a streak where we had six down days in a row, and the six down days did not even the equivalent of less than 1.2%. You got to think about that for a minute and wonder, how is that, possible that we could have that kind of 6 days right down and not do anything. And, again, at the end of the day, that is exactly what's happening, and we're going to continue to, monitor that. But again, I would consider, I'm certainly calling this a bubble area. I've been on the bubble bandwagon and the Bubba bandwagon for a while. But again, I think that you have a bubble being built on a lot of nonsense. We look at it and we talk about the things that have driven the market this way, and certainly a lot of it had to do with the over-exuberance of Trump. And again, listen, I'm going to put it this way. I believe that he's doing a tremendous job. I mean, you may not agree with everything he does, and certainly he's got some issues. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think he's kind of keeping his promises. I think he's kind of doing what he's trying to do. And you can't blame the guy for lack of work or not trying to work hard to get things done. So that we'll give him credit for. And again, you can dislike him for any number of reasons you want, but we do have to give him some sort of a credit for trying to get everything done. But of course, now I think that Mnuchin stepped in a pile of manure last week or the week before by saying that we're going to have all this stuff done by August. I give it no chance to have it done by August because, again, one of the things we have to remember is the ability to get these things done, what's it going to take to do that? Well, you've got to get the Congress and the Senate, and yes, they are both Republicans, but of course, one thing we know, right, they do not necessarily want to do everything that he needs to get done because they're all worried about their own ass and their own votes. And of course, at the end, that is always the problem is, If they can't figure out what's in it for them, they're going to figure out how not to get it done. And, I think that is the problem. I'm just saying, okay, that I believe you've got one big bubble floating here. I don't know any other way to classify it. This is going to be very much like a tulip mania or any other bubble in history. You have total ignorance and lack of concern that the markets can ever do anything wrong or go down again. Now, you can believe all you want. Okay, you can listen to every genius out there telling you why the market will never go down again. And of course, those are the same people that will tell you that this time is different. Those are the same economists that didn't know what hit them in the first place. All right. So if you're going to continue to listen and go by the things that they say, I think you're going to find yourself really in a what we would call a little bit of a trick box, because at the end of the day, all right, markets do not go straight up. And certainly this market, especially the way it was built, what it was built on, is not healthy. Now, it could change, but I cannot imagine the changes coming anytime too soon. I think that's the bigger story, is the overall change that we're looking for. You cannot get those things approved fast enough to make that happen. And that brings in the bigger story, is so what is next? Now that all these promises that we're all banking on, the tax cut, I mean, they're having trouble getting through this Obamacare thing. Now, I don't know what makes it so difficult. Of course, I do know, because it has more to do with politicians trying to maneuver. But, you know, if you were a business person and just wanted to put together a plan, you would put together a plan that would have some government subsidy to help subsidize the people that, you know, can't get approved because they have previous conditions. But at the end, if you put it all together and you grabbed every business involved and you said, okay, here's what we're going to do. All right. And I believe, in my opinion, it could be worked out rather easily. But unfortunately, you don't have that. And you've got everybody who's always got their own agenda. All right. I mean, I believe that Trump's cabinet is all for Trump and they have no agenda. I believe that Trump has no agenda other than he just wants to go down as one of the greatest presidents of all time. I think it's an ego thing by him, and that's fine. If he does a good job, I'm happy, however he does it, and whatever reason he's doing it for. But we still have to deal with the runts and the rats that run the country from the House to the Senate. And, of course, they need to get something before they'll give something up. And you've got the, you know, you've got the divisive splits in parties now. You know, you've got the right and the far right, and you've got the left and the far left. And this is, again, where the bigger problems come in, when you have issues that have to be dealt with from people that, you know, don't want to deal with them. All right. You know, you've got, you know, the Rand Paul running around last week with a copier trying to find the secret plan. And, of course, obviously done tongue in cheek. But, you know, it's a mess that has to be resolved. But I again, this is where you could, if you had Donald Trump, because he is the president right now, you know, running his own business, this problem would be solved already. And this is the problem we have to put up because of the people that are in government. And you can pick on bad people on both sides, but you know, you start with Elizabeth Warren, you start with Nancy Pelosi, you start with Schumer, Ellison, and the list goes on and on and on. And that becomes the bigger problem, that we have to deal with. And listen, there's plenty on the right as well. So I'm not just singling it out, but that is the issues. And, you know, everybody thinks that they're right and they want to have that plan in their own way. And of course, we all know that is a bunch of hogwash. It's a bunch of hooey, but that's right now what we're dealing with. And until we can get past it, it's going to be a long, long road. And that's where I think we're going to see the issues are going to start to play out, because you're going to start to realize that all these things that we thought were going to get done pretty quickly are not. But one thing for sure is that this is The Bubba Show. And I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm, the only station you ever need, is available. You to download The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge. And with the NCAA tournament coming up, got to get that Sporting Edge as well. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break. I'll be right back after the break with Jane King from Lila Next Week. The Bubba Show, yeah. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Welcome Back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Julian Assange. No, George Orwell. No, it's Jane King, the one, the only, the very talented. What's up, Jane King?
I'll tell you, I mean, may you live in interesting times, because every week we talk and it feels like, I mean, it's only been 1 week, but it feels like it's been a month because so much stuff has happened. So,
you know, it's amazing when you look at, we have Julian Assange with all these WikiLeaks stuff, and you've got, you know, if you go back and read George Orwell, 1984, it's kind of interesting how all the things are starting to come through. They're staring at you through your TV set. What are we going to do?
I know. I mean, it's just crazy. What do you do? You know, it's funny, people criticize WikiLeaks, but I'm kind of one of these people, the more information, the better. And I'm glad people know about this stuff and that it's technically possible and that it goes on. This is the kind of stuff, like, if somebody would go, oh yeah, the CIA can watch you through your TV, people have been like, that person's a loon. And then, like, later you're like, okay, you know, maybe this stuff really does happen. So I mean it's interesting stuff, and we'll see how it all plays out.
Well, I mean, it's been known for a long time that, you know, the cameras on your computers could actually stare back at you. So, you know, reminds you of the old scary movies where the eyes are moving in the picture, right? I mean,
yeah.
So, but
I have a little black piece of tape over my camera on my computer. So, I mean, you know, I'm sure people think I'm weird, but there it is.
Well, actually, a guy went on Shark Tank. He made a plastic piece that fit over all computers. So there you go. But do you think?
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I just have a black piece of duct tape. You don't need to go spend money.
It seems to me that I would think that obviously technology has been around obviously a long time, and we keep getting better, but it becomes more to the public. But I would almost guess that we've had a lot of this stuff going on that we just never heard about, and they were kind of watching over you, anyways. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think that's probably true. I mean, I mean, the technology is adding a whole new level, I think, to spying. But, you know, we had more humans. Like, I was one time at Lord & Taylor in New York City, and somebody was shoplifting. And out of the blue, people came up, like, dressed like street people, dressed like 20-year-old women in tank tops. Like, they were shoppers, tackled this person. I mean, so you never know what's around you and what's going on. And that was just fascinating. And I think, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happens that we don't know. I'm sure of it.
Now, I wonder what your thoughts are on, you know, obviously last weekend, President Trump came out with the wiretaping allegations against Obama. What was your take of that? And how do you see that possibly resolving itself?
Well, I think there should be investigation into it. I mean, this political atmosphere is just so toxic that I honestly wouldn't put much past anybody. I think, you know, and you have to ask yourself, well, where did that Mike Flynn conversation come from? And I think it's worth investigating. I mean, it may turn out to be nothing. We may learn additional information that we never dreamed about. I think an investigation, thorough, honest, bipartisan investigation is worth doing about this, as well as Russia and the election. I mean, that still is an issue, and I think that should be looked at, too.
Well, you know, I believe, I mean, my opinion is, I mean, I have a thought about that, but my opinion about, I don't think it's actually Russia. I think it's really probably ISIS. I mean, my thought is simple. I don't think Russia wants to fight with the United States, and I don't think the United States wants to fight with Russia. They just want to be both equally afraid. But I don't think they want antagonism, because, you know, obviously between those two powers, one push of a button and the world is dead. It's over. But, you know, and I believe that ISIS wants a war because they don't really care if they live or die anyway. So you have any, what do you think about that? Is that a goofy theory?
Hmm. Well, I've never thought about ISIS before. I'm wondering, like, just how much money and technological expertise they have. But maybe they have more than I think. I mean, they made a lot of money off oil for several years. And I agree with you about Russia. Like, I don't have any doubt they're spying. I mean, we're all spying on everybody. But I think that Vladimir Putin is very smart. And he knows that he needs the U.S. To accomplish what he wants. I mean, it's all selfish. So, I mean, I don't think he wants any problems, or certainly not a war with the United States. So, and I don't really think they're meddling with the election. I mean, you know, people were blaming them for fake news. A lot of that came out of other places, and maybe some former Russian countries. but I think that was profit driven. I mean, there were negative stories about Trump. There were negative stories about Clinton. There were positive stories about both. I mean, I just, you know, the meddling in the election, I just don't buy that so much. I think it was more just people wanting to make money, and they saw an opportunity on Facebook to put out fake news, and it generated sometimes $10,000 a day for these people. So, you know, it's weird times. I don't think Washington is operating efficiently and smartly right now, and I think, you know, there needs to be some people in there that do things a little bit differently than what we've seen over the past 20, 30 years.
And I could not agree with you more. So you are a journalist. You have been so. And you, again, I always talk about you on other shows, just that you have the unique personality. You understand the business. And you also have, not only are you a New Yorker now and have been so for what, almost 20 years, right? But
Yeah, 2000, yeah.
But you're a Midwesterner as well, and you understand, you know, the whole workshop. Now, you know, news has certainly changed over the 20 years you've been involved in it, or longer. And do you like where we're headed with the news, or is it kind of disappoint you as a journalist yourself?
Well, my overall reaction is it's a little scary. You know, you get a lot of people who get their information off social media, and that's just not. I mean, you know, it used to be that you had media and you had editors and they were responsible for things, and you could sue if you were libeled or whatever. And there was like the system of checks and balances, and people took it seriously. They took information seriously. And I don't think people do that anymore. It's scary that anybody can basically say anything, and there will be a certain percentage of the public that will believe them. And that affects opinion, that affects voting, that affects how people behave and do their daily routines, and it changes the world. So I like openness, and I like it when people can express their opinions in responsible and intelligent ways, but I don't like this openness that anybody can be a journalist. I don't think that that's healthy.
Okay, no, and I agree. I mean, I like that. I mean, I think that's honest and great, because, again, it looks, you know, they're even the top news networks, you know, they're no longer really reporting the news, they're reporting ratings, right? They're trying to, you know, break that shocking story about Trump or whatever, and obviously he's the number one topic. Almost any feed you turn to, it's always Trump's this, Trump's that, and of course it's kind of, you know, annoying already. I mean, it's like we'd like to get moving forward into this right. Administration, right? I mean, so when you look at the whole thing now, and of course, you know, the economy looks better, but does it really look better? And what are we going to do with all this debt, Jane? I know everything looks great, and I'm happy. Yeah. Look, I'm happy things are getting better, but we still have a $19 trillion debt that's got to be dealt with. What do you think they do with that?
Yeah, well, we had, there was a story out this week, credit card debt is almost $1 trillion. It's almost a record high in the U.S. And it's expected actually to surpass the previous record, which is 2007, sometime this year. And that's credit card debt. I mean, this isn't, you know, mortgages or, you know, this is bad debt. So, it's scary. I think a lot of people live on credit cards. I think that they, you know, want to go on vacations and they want to have the latest handbag and they put it on a credit card. And I mean, it's really, especially with interest rates likely going to increase and maybe rapidly so over the next few years, we're kind of entering a scary situation with the amount of debt that we have out there.
And those are the words, according to Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. You got to read that Ka-Ching Report. You got to check her out. And quickly, how's the
finance? It's great on a Friday. Gives you a smile on a Friday after a tough week.
You always give us a smile. What's quickly on the financial, on your podcasting, anything new?
Okay. So, yes, we are working on kind of a panel discussion with some of my friends that are from different countries. And we're all going to talk about money and how kids are taught about money in different countries. So I have a friend from Uganda who's going to be on this, South Korea, and a friend of mine from Latin America. So it's going to be an interesting kind of cultural discussion about the importance of money and how it's taught in other countries. And I think it might be kind of cool discussion.
I think it'll be great. Jane King, thanks so much. I appreciate you.
Thanks, son.
Friend Jane King, and always trying to make things better, kind of like what we do, and trying to educate America and give them a better shot at being successful in these turbulent times. And of course, hopefully things are getting better, but we know that there are always troubles, and that's kind of what we look at. And that's why we're having our new hedging program starting tomorrow night. So if you have an interest, go to Bubba Trading ISIS.com and check it out. Brand new class, 7 weeks. So, anyways, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download of the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, we got the NCAAs coming up this week, so it's time. Anyways, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back, right back after the break with more with the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you in a few minutes. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And Matt is our expert and has been, as they say, pretty much en fuego. We did get a lot of the action that he was looking for last week, I think especially in the Russell. What do you say there, Matt Demeter?
I'm doing good. How about you, Todd?
Doing good. So you got a little bit of what you called for. Let's explain to us where we stand now with all the calls you may have been making all along, because I think your scorecard should be maybe getting ready to change a little bit. So let us know where we stand and give us a quick update.
Sure. Well, Russell, I think, will continue to be weak. I don't think we quite made it as high as we needed to in the NASDAQ, which we've been talking about. So I don't see a broad market sell-off happening, you know, especially not in a violent way, if the NASDAQ doesn't complete to the upside. So I'm looking at NASDAQ 100 at the QQQ, and I want to see it get to 132.90, 133, that range. Once it gets to that spot, then it will have completed its pattern to the upside, and then we can have a reversal back down. But again, until that happens, I don't see the broad market just crashing here. But the Russell has already completed its pattern to the upside; it's done. So that's why that's been our biggest short position. We're going to maintain that short position. If we get we're probably going to get some sort of bounce here soon in the overall market, which, you know, that does make sense with, you know, the QQQ call, because the McClellan oscillator got into extreme oversold territory last week. And it's in a territory where we've seen major bottoms in the past, not what you'd call tops. So it needs to relieve that condition. We need to bounce up, let that neutralize at least, and then we can get a big sell-off.
Now, can't that relieve itself by consolidating as well, though?
It can. If we chop sideways, that's another way it can happen.
Now, when you say margin of error, I mean, what is your margin of error? I mean, it seems to me, if you called for the high in the NASDAQ when it was like the Qs when they're like in the low 120s, so now they're at almost 132. I mean, and your target I know is like 133 and change. So, I mean, that's not within the margin of error. That you have to be more exact than that.
Yeah, no, it has to be pretty exact. For me, if we can go a little bit beyond 132.90, we need to at least hit it. So if we don't get to 132.90, then it remains incomplete, and then I'll sit there saying, okay, this thing's not ready to sell off.
And of course, based on volatility, based on the VIX. Based on the overall attitude, when you see things, it doesn't look like it's ready. But of course, we do know one thing: markets do not announce their intentions, and it could be swift when it starts to happen. Is that not possible?
Yeah, no, I think when it starts to happen, it will be. I think very soon after we peak, we're going to start to see a violent move down. I don't think it's going to be, I keep going back to May 2015 when the S&P and Dow peaked, and then we sat around for, 3 months doing nothing. Volatility kept falling. And even though we'd already peaked, there was really no major sell-off until August. I don't think that's going to be the case this time. I think this time, we'll peak and then we see fast sell-offs. But that everything has to complete. So NASDAQ has to complete to the upside as well. Until that's done, that won't happen. But soon after that peak in NASDAQ, because I'm looking at volatility charts as well, and they look like they're ready to rip to the upside, but they're not quite complete either to the downside. They just need a little bit more move to the downside, and then they should be ready to roll too.
I look at the same thing you do, and of course that does look to be potentially something that's going to happen. Now, when you look at the overall situation here, I mean, we've got falling volatility, no real follow through in anything. So does this say anything to you? I mean, the Fed's going to hike this week. Is there anything that you take away from that, or is it just the way that the charts roll, and that's what you're just waiting for?
Well, I know everybody expects the Fed to hike, and I do too. They're underestimating what, I don't know. I guess I don't think a 25 basis point a move should do anything either, but maybe it's underestimated what will occur when, their monetary easing is kind of coming to an end. So I really don't know what – if we're looking for a catalyst just for this market to sell off, I don't know what it's going to be.
Right.
I don't think that I'm not seeing anything amazing in the dollar. Like, I don't see the dollar shooting up to the moon. I think it's actually going to roll over, which we've talked about. I do see which fits with the bearish stock call. I do see treasuries bottoming very soon, long-term treasuries, and then bouncing up to probably a lower high than we got back over the summer. So that fits with a typical run to safety of treasuries. So that fits with the stock market sell-off as well.
No, I agree. I mean, again, I believe that what's going to cause a sell-off is something that we don't have any idea about. It will not be, in my opinion, it will not be economic data. It'll be something that is totally, that catches people off guard, that just forces them to want to sell. And of course, we know once the selling begins, if they start breaking things down and you get a run for the exits, we know how that's played out in the past. And we know that has a very chance to make the sell-off fairly dramatic, and not one of these one-hit wonders like August 24th or whatever, but actually getting some real momentum like we had last year in January to the downside before it actually did turn around. So you look at the bonds. Now, the bonds look like they're just getting slaughtered like nobody cares. They're like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And I guess at some point down here, is there a number that you're looking for in the treasuries that says to you that that be where you'd look to be getting in, or you're just not quite sure yet? What's that story?
Well, with treasuries, I'm looking at TLT, that ETF. I'm looking for 116 as a bottom. So we got to 116.65-ish last week. So that's now within the margin of error. So I'd say they're very close to a bottom.
Okay.
The treasuries are.
Yeah. No, I took a stab at them last week and didn't work out so well for me. But again, there's always this week. So, I look at them and I thought they'd be, somewhere near a playable bottom. And, and what are you seeing? And now, if I look at the dollar, I say that the dollar's already priced in all these rate hikes and that they've been able to they've been unsuccessful at trying to push it higher. To me, it makes it want to go a lot lower. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. The chart says the same. The price pattern says that, and the commercials say that they are heavily, heavily short the dollar. They were already heavily short. They added another six. They were had about 55,000 contracts, something like that. They added another 7,000 contracts short last week. that's they're short about 80% of open interest. I mean, it's insane. So it's a very big short position in the dollar that the banks, the commercials slash banks are taking.
Now, you know, we've talked about the pound, and you know, you're a fan of the pound. Is it doing it? Is it getting any technical damage down here? Because it's been, you know, fairly ugly the last, you know, I don't know, a couple of weeks or so.
You know, for me, I don't see technical damage being done really. I think it's just building. It's going to build up more strength down here for a stronger rally. So we're staying long. The commercials too, they're adding to their position. So I like to see that because I consider them the smart money. So I think the pound, we're just sticking with it. Unfortunately, it's been a very long trade. You know, we got long around 122, and we're still about even. So just waiting on that.
No. I mean, the last time we came down here, they then made it like a 4 cent rally in one day.
Right.
So, I mean, again, I'm long myself, and I'm just, you know, curious as to how you see it. I mean, I think it looks okay. You know, again, it's not comforting when it's going down, but I think they're holding all right. I think they'll be fine. But again, this ties in with the overall, you know, dollar pattern. And again, I think that the dollar has just been well overpriced here. And you know, I think you're seeing a lot of that play out in some of the more dollar denominated products. You know, when you look at, you know, gold until last week, and of course gold figured, you know, didn't figure to continue to go up forever there. You kind of picked that out yourself, right?
Right. Yeah. We've been talking about gold and silver, and you know, we had been long since December. We took all our long exposure off, and I said it was possible that we could have gotten more upside, but, the risk reward just wasn't there. And then we started talking about how the commercials had gotten super heavy short silver, which I never like to see, is, you know, if you're a bull. And, you know, they, you know, soon thereafter, you know, smashed silver to the downside. They did it again last week, another waterfall decline. Though now they're getting very oversold. So I think we're setting up for some short-term bottoms in gold and silver. We should bounce soon.
All right, well, and we can see that. And, of course, this is Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the expert for the Bubba Show. And remember, when you miss an episode, you go to LibertyTalk.fm, and you can download the show every day. And with March Madness coming up, you can also get more of the Sporting Edge, which will be done. And we'll cover Duke Blue Devils, even though, well, what the hell. But anyways, this is the Bubba Show, Top of Horse. We're going to stop by here for a break. We'll be back with more from Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. After the break, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, coming right back to you in just about 2 minutes. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And you actually check out his newsletter. He's got a lot of good stuff, and I read it all the time. Hell, it's good information and kind of keeps you centered on the market. So, Matt, we got oil finally. And, you know, I know you've been on it, you know, on that downtrending line. And it finally got waxed pretty good. And then that followed it up with another beat down. And it followed it up with a little bit of more selling. Obviously, I'm still very bearish oil, but I would expect to see some sort of at worst, a dead cat bounce here. You know, somewhere probably back into, I don't know, 50, 51. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not seeing real good support where we are right now in the 48s. I'm thinking we're going to go into the mid low 40s before we get a good bounce. But I mean, we could bounce back. Actually, we could bounce back first and then, you know, come back down to the low 40s. But that's what I'm thinking where support's going to be, is the low 40s. So anywhere from, say, it depends on how long it takes, because these are rising lines. But I'm thinking, you know, 45 is going to be where we've already started to cover a little bit, just, you know, just taking off, you know, 10-20% of what we had short. But I'm looking for 45-ish before we start taking the bulk of it off.
All right. Well, again, I'm not saying that you would take yours off, but mm-hmm. But I'd make you a friendly bet that there's a little bit of a bounce this week. I mean, they tried to bounce them on Friday. And had crude up over a dollar before failing. And again, it doesn't mean it won't fail when it gets there, but we're getting to a point where there's going to be some buyers trying to step in. First of all, I think some private takers will take some of their dough off the table, and you know, that aren't quite as sharp as you are. And there'll be people that are saying, hey, you know, it's been sold off, you know, 8-11%, and it's time to step in and try to rally. So I expect to see a dead cat bounce, which to me would just be another great opportunity to load up and sell some more in my eyes. That's the way I look at it. But again, that's what makes a trade, right? That's what makes a market. You're going to sit back and wait until it gets down to your target. And my target is 40. That's been my target. Even when it was 56, I was calling for 40. And I'm still calling for 40. And I'm telling my farmers that there's no reason to hedge fuel costs until we get down in that lower level of the 40s. And I think you agree with that, yes?
Yeah, I do. You know, the difficulty I'm having is I'm looking at the price chart, and I'm just not really seeing a serious support until we get down into the low 40s. So I want to wait for that. But when I'm looking at the indicators, they're now pretty darn oversold. The daily indicators, anyway, are very oversold. So, you know, that's why I think, you know, I can agree, you know, that we might actually get a bounce sooner to relieve those indicators. And then, you know, and then we can, you know, turn back down again and get to the low 40s.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I'm certainly not a buyer here. I'm just what I did is I'm looking for a reason to sell more. And I think you'll get one of these sharp little rallies, you know, it'll push them up a little bit and you'll kind of create some excitement. And then we'll give them to them again and let them take them down to the next lower level. And, you know, hey, that's the way markets usually work. And, you know, you look for it. I know that, you know, even last week when the Russell was getting creamed, I didn't talk to you, but I'm assuming you were probably looking for some little bit of a bounce somewhere just to relieve some of that pressure down there, right?
Yeah, we were. And, you know, we did get a little bit of a bounce, but it didn't last long. But we could get something very similar in oil. Yeah, a small, just, you know, just to relieve the very, very short term indicators. Sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, listen, it could be a couple of hours. If the rally's big enough, it would relieve them in a couple hours. So now we look and we see, and of course, we see what's going on. And interesting, 2 weeks ago, grains were down. Grains were up. Meats were down last week, reverse, exact reverse. To me, it looks like the hog market, which I know you follow that a little bit closer, is, again, I can't see it going any higher from here. And I know I think you still do, or I'm not sure. I mean, I know you were looking for it for a while and it's held up, but now what are you seeing here?
In hogs, I think I'm still relatively bullish. You know, this is you know, like on a scale of 1 to 10, I you know, and 5 being neutral, I'd be a 6 or a 7 as far as bullish. The cattle, a little bit less so. The commercials are heavily, heavily short cattle, not as much in hogs. But we have a small long position going in the cow, the livestock ETF cow, and that's been, you know, it's gone up 1% since we've gotten in. I don't see dramatic upside, but I do see, you know, a little bit more. So we'll just stick with it for a while.
No, I mean, look, I could see it. I mean, again, I'm not telling you it can't go up. What I see is, you know, they're getting, you know, some markets have, you know, cash markets as well. And the cash markets, I think they're squeezing the crap out of the cash, forcing them to go to the futures to try to get out. And we'll see how it plays out. I mean, I would predict, if I were to predict, I would say that, you know, they could go a little bit higher. And certainly I'd never be surprised, because it happens all the time. But if you told me, you know, you got to make a trade that you got to hold for 3 months, which way would you go? And I think right now I'd be going to the short side in that market. But again, that's just the way I look at it. And, you know, who knows?
Actually, I'd agree with that. I would agree with that. I mean, 3 months out, I don't want to be long livestock. This is a trade we're thinking, you know, for a few more weeks and a little bit more upside. We're talking about percents, you know, a few percent to the upside. We're not looking for 10, 20%. I think the majority of the moves actually would be to the downside. But the way we set up the trade, We have a tight stop, so we're set.
No, I'm with you. Again, it makes sense. I mean, you know, and you look at, you're probably getting a little bit of an edge in the cow. You know, I'm not quite sure how that whole thing works out, but you know, you have right now, you've got, you know, pretty severe backwardation in fat cattle, or live cattle they call it, and you know, you've got April trading 117, you've got August trading 102. So that's a fairly bearish setup as well. But of course, I don't know how, you know, cow and all those ETFs account for that. But so when you look over, and what are you thinking about the grains? I know that, you know, now soybeans are at a pretty key level. that could actually really it could trash them now. I mean, I think they're going to bounce from about the $10 level. That was kind of my target, and I still love wheat. What are you thinking?
I agree. You know, on the wheat side, as you know, I'm more bullish wheat than the other two, more than corn or soybeans. Soybeans haven't completed for me to the downside. So, I mean, I just continually expect over time more downside. But you know, at any point they can bounce. I haven't looked at the short term pattern just yet. But it's actually at a spot where it could bounce here, and if you know you have lateral support here, like you're referring to, so it'd be a good place for it to bounce. But I'm going to stay bearish on this. If we've got another bounce to the upside, I would consider another good spot to short.
I agree with that. I think that you know it looks to me. I know you're bearish soybeans and corn and long and bullish wheat, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I look at it that. Wheat's the strongest, soybeans the weakest, and corn's kind of in the middle. Like they're holding levels fairly well, and they're not really falling apart. Yet I don't know how far much room they have to the upside, but I think that soybeans, if they can break down through 10, they could make a quick move down to 930 or 940 real quick. So again, that to me is a little bit of concern. And you know, I mean, I'm looking for spots to sell. I'm certainly not looking for spots to buy right now. And is there anything out there that's sticking out in your mind right now that we should know about?
The one spot of strength that's really been surprising for me is the Euro Stoxx 50. It's broken above. It's what I consider a major pivot line, which, you know, it's resistive when you approach it from underneath and it's supportive when you approach it from the top side. So it's gotten above that and it's using it as support now. And that's kind of a concern. But I think it's going to have a little bit more upside, and then I think it'll fall back below and we'll get a big sell-off. It's one of the most overbought as far as the indicators go. It's getting into the extreme, you know, overbought levels.
And how do you play the Euro Stoxx 50? I forgot.
There's two ETFs, FEZ and HEDJ, and the first they don't hedge out the currency, and the second they do.
Gotcha. So all right. So it's and again, so we've got some excitement now. We only got about 30 or 40 seconds left, but you don't do anything special knowing that the Fed is meeting. I forget about what they're going to do, but you don't change anything. You just let the charts play out no matter what they do, and you'll adjust to that. Is that correct?
That's basically correct. I mean, you know, right the day before the meeting, I want to see what's happening in gold and silver, because that'll tell you. I mean, we know this time they're going to raise. I mean, that's what they've conditioned the market for. So that shouldn't be much of a surprise. But in gold and silver, I like to look at them. What's their action 24 hours before what the Fed does? And if they'll usually do the opposite, gold and silver will before the Fed versus after the Fed. So if they were down before, they'll be up after. That kind of gives me an idea of what the Fed's going to do.
Got it.
Most states. Yeah.
Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate having you on. It's always good to be here.
Always great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, LibertyTalk.fm. Download the show. Tune in later this week as we make our NCAA projections. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care, everybody.
Turn the noise down.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.